Welcome to Set for Life with Pastor Ray Jensen. You can find us at setforliferadio.com. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So let's listen from God's Word, verse by verse, on how we can prepare for the coming of the Lord Messiah Jesus, who died on the cross, so that you can be set for life.
You'll be set for life if you give your heart and believe what he's done for you. You'll be set for life with your treasures stored up in heaven when you're through. You'll be set for life.
Even our kings and our princes, we've done it this way. They figured the reason why they started dying, why their people started to die and their food supply dried up, is because they stopped sacrificing to Ishtar. We better start back up with Ishtar again or we're going to keep dying. They had stopped trusting in the Lord for their provision. That's what the problem was. And in America, we do the same thing. We trust in money. We don't trust in God anymore that much. Money's going to, I need more money. Money's going to get me through. And we never think of God. We never pray to the Lord. Lord God, help me. I'm in a mess. Okay, they were trusting in Ishtar. Look at this, Jeremiah 44:19. The women also said, and when we burned incense to the queen of heaven and poured out drink offerings to her, did we make cakes for her to worship her and pour out drink offerings to her without our husband's permission? The women were saying, hey, we got our husband's permission to do this. My hubby said I could. So it's not like I'm doing anything wrong here. That was their excuse. When women sacrifice to a goddess of fertility and they ask their husbands if they can do it, what do you think they're wanting? They want children. That's what they were barren. They didn't have food to eat. People were dying. They said, husband, we need to get before the goddess Ishtar of fertility and we need to get something moving here. And the husband says, okay, go. And Jeremiah comes calling them back to the Lord. No, our husband says we could do it. This is the way we've always done it. Our mom and dad, we've always had bunnies and eggs. I remember as a kid, we used to go look for Easter egg hunt. We're looking for fertility. That's what they're doing. That's what the Easter egg, the Ishtar egg hunt is. Let's go look for life. Christian, you better be looking for life in the Lord Jesus, not an egg hiding behind the doghouse. They wanted Ishtar. They were not looking for God to bless them with children. They told Jeremiah, we will not listen to you. We want Ishtar. It's the way we've always done it. They figured God couldn't help them. So let's just run to Ishtar. And as God told Jeremiah, he said, this provokes me to anger that these people would do this, that they would replace me with something else. Friends, I do not want to provoke God's anger any more than I already have. But they would not listen to Jeremiah's warning. Jeremiah 44:26. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, all Judah who dwell in the land of Egypt. Behold, I have sworn by my great name, says the Lord, that my name shall no more be named in the mouth of any man of Judah in all the land of Egypt, saying, the Lord God lives. Behold, I will watch over them for adversity and not for good. And all the men of Judah who are in the land of Egypt shall be consumed by the sword and by famine until there is an end to them. Because they refused to repent, God would have them die by the very trouble that they called on Ishtar to save them from. Ishtar, save us from famine. God says, that's exactly what you're going to die of because you won't listen to me. By the sword and famine. Ishtar could not save them because Ishtar does not exist. It is the Lord God alone who holds the power of life. Now look at this, Jeremiah 44:28. Yet a small number who escaped the sword shall return from the land of Egypt to the land of Judah, and all the remnant of Judah who have gone to the land of Egypt to dwell there shall know whose words will stand, mine or theirs. No, we're going to do it our way. God's like, you're going to find out real quick whose way works, mine or yours. Friends, I'll tell you right now, you're struggling, you're doing it your way, turn around and do it God's way. He's just trying to show you whose way works, yours or his, and he's going to win every time. But these people actually argued fiercely with God about Ishtar. They defended, that's our tradition, we've always done it, we're keeping it. And people who fiercely defend their traditions often argue to keep Easter. I've had people come into this church, sit down with me and say, I do Easter. You know what I say? I do not. There, we cancel each other out, we're even. But in this passage, God said, you're going to find out the hard way. Whose way is right, mine or yours? Friends, it's so much easier just to hear the word of God and repent so that you don't have to find out the hard way. Let's get in line with God's word so it doesn't have to be trouble. You can just follow the Lord God now. Well, it's tradition. Put the tradition away. Get rid of it. But yeah, my mom and dad. But God. Guys, you got to make a decision. His way or yours. And while we're here, I want you to notice that God said he was actually going to preserve a remnant of Judah. Did you see that? There's going to be some of y'all make it back, and y'all are going to be the ones that find out. But the remnant that goes back, that was God working to keep his promise of the Davidic covenant, that he was going to keep some Jews from the tribe of Judah, because one day from their ancestry is going to be somebody who is going to sit on the throne of Israel from the tribe of Judah, and that person will be Jesus Christ, our Passover lamb. Isn't that great? God was calling his people, get away from that Ishtar stuff, but I'm going to keep a remnant of you, not just so you can find out whose way is right, but I'm going to keep that promise that I told you I would do. And that's our salvation coming through that. Isn't that great? So in this story, the people were searching for life. They were looking for it. Fertility. To have children and to have the first fruits of their crops, because they were dying. They had nothing to eat. We're looking for life. We're looking to have better crops and have children. And this is where the tradition of bunnies, the fertility and the searching for Easter eggs comes from. It's a Babylonian tradition designed to teach their children how to look for symbols of fertility, to go look for life, but not from God. Guys. What have we done? I see kids looking for Easter eggs and it's fun. I mean, yeah, I believe in kids having fun. I'm not against that. But give them some fun that teaches them right. Why do we take bunnies and eggs? Why do we look for life without asking it to come from the Lord our God? Why do we take bunnies and eggs, but yet tell our children, but it's for the Lord? If Aaron was wrong for saying the calf was for the Lord, we're wrong for telling our children that bunnies and eggs are for the Lord too. God will not share his glory. He wants all of it. Get the bunnies and eggs out. Get Ishtar out. Give it all to God. You want to teach kids to look for Jesus? Take something that says Jesus and go hide it behind the doghouse and say, go find that. Go look for it. You can do the same stuff, but don't mix it up, okay? Look at Job 33:4. It says, the Spirit of God has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life, not Ishtar. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Life, friends, is from the Lord. He will not share his glory. He will not share his worship with another one. The last thing I want to do during Passover is to inject a religious bias that profanes the true sacrifice that God provided for me. Because if I do that, then I'm going to nullify the Word of God through a bad tradition. The Word of God is not going to be effective in my life. So it's easy to understand why Easter has been timed for early spring. Because right now our grass and our trees are leafing out again. Ishtar must be back from the underworld, right? Because everything's taken off. The leaves are coming back out and everything. That's why Easter was timed right here when the life spurs back up, because that's when the Babylonians said, hey, Ishtar's back. And this holiday, Easter, is covering up the Passover from the Gentiles' view. This is the biggest problem of the whole thing. And you take the blinders off and the Gentiles go, whoa, where's this been? It's been under that thing called Easter. It's been hiding under that tradition that you refuse to let go of. That old sin of Jeroboam is still trying to take God's glory away, and I refuse to let the sin of Jeroboam come into this church. That's why I'm teaching what I'm teaching now. So in my study, I found multiple sources that claim Ishtar commands her followers with the following quote, worship me that the dead may rise up. Can you see how wrong it is that Ishtar Easter has been installed right during the time of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. In Jeremiah 44, the people said, "We are dying. We need children. We need life to rise up. And that's why we offer to the Queen of Heaven, and we will not listen to you." Friends, the dead will never rise up at the command of anyone except at the command of the Father God of Israel. He is the only one who commands raising from the dead. Ezekiel 37:13, "Then you shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves." This is the Lord's work, no one else's. Now, when the Israelites were slaves to Egypt, God told them, "Kill a lamb, eat it, burn it." So he said, "Take some of the blood and smear it over the top of the door." And the Lord God was going to send judgment through Egypt to kill all the firstborn. But whenever he saw the blood of the lamb smeared across the outside of their door, he promised to pass over that house and it would save everyone who was in it. That it would spare everyone who was under the blood of the lamb. Friends, we need to get under the blood of our Passover lamb, Jesus Christ. He is our Passover who was sacrificed for us. And God has wrathful judgment against our sin. But for his wrath to pass over you, you've got to get under the blood of Jesus Christ. I refuse to let a crazy tradition profane and twist up the one way that God has given to save us. Matthew 27:15, "And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised." And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Friends, it wasn't just Jesus that rose again that day. It was believers that he chose to rise up to be multiple witnesses to his resurrection. Isn't that great? But friends, only he, the Lord God of Israel, can give life and save his people. God raised other believers too, and guess what? He's going to raise you as well. If you believe in Jesus, you're under the blood of Jesus, you die and you're out of here and you think that's it. No, it ain't. You just getting started. Eternity's yet ahead. We're going to raise up with him because he rose. Now, that's how you spread a gospel story fast, is by having a lot of witness rise too. So I pray for a lot of people in this church, that a lot of people hearing me on the radio or out there on the video, whatever, that they get saved and they rise again and become a witness like here and go start telling the gospel message. Matthew 28:1. "Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing white as bunny's fur, white as snow." I'm just throwing that in there so you see how ridiculous it sounds now. Do you catch in this? "It was white as snow, and the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you.' So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them." Ha! Wow, that had to be cool. Boom, here I am. "And he said, 'Rejoice.' So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him." Guys, they worshiped Jesus. It says they worship Jesus. They didn't go, "Hallelujah, you're up from the grave. Let me go run to my bunnies and eggs." They fell on the ground and they worshiped him. Christian, worship the Lord your God only. Do not give his glory to anything else. Easter Ishtar, the Queen of Heaven, is nowhere in this story. Because God will not share his glory with any tradition that we invent to try to replace it. I have been inside of Jesus' tomb, but when you turn to leave, there's a sign by the door. It says, "He is not here. He's risen." And you get to see that sign as you're on your way out. I'm like, wow, what a good place to hang the sign. "He is not here, for he is risen." 1 Corinthians 6:14. "And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power." Friends, that is the real resurrection here, the resurrection of Jesus. In that sense, he was raised up, we get to be raised up too. But you will only be raised up with him if you first die with him. Oh, I love the resurrection part. I want to be raised, but that dying part, I'm not ready for that. That's the way most people see it. You got to die with him. This is why we have to let go of our old life. You've got to die to who you used to be. Romans 6:5, "For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him, for the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Jesus could not be raised until he died first. You have to die to your old life before you can be raised with him. And so I'm going to say the same thing that the angel told the women. He said, "Go quickly and tell that Jesus is raised from the dead." Christians, when you leave here today, go quickly and tell people that Jesus is raised from the dead. The same command the angel, "Oh, I wish I was there to see that angel and he'd have told me that." Okay, same thing. Go do it. Okay? You're in the picture now. Now, you remember how the worshipers of Ishtar were looking for food. They were looking for their crops to return. They looked for fertility so they could have their first fruits again. Well, friends, they were looking for the wrong kind of first fruits. 1 Corinthians 15:20, "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." This means that for those who have died to themselves and lost everything, "Oh, I'm going to lose everything." Yeah, you want to lose everything. For those who've died to themselves and lost everything, Jesus is what they need in order to be brought back again. The Israelites in Jeremiah 44 said, "We lack everything, we're dying." And so they worshiped a false god to regain material first fruits. As sinners, we lack everything. We are dying as sinners, but Jesus is our spiritual first fruits. So look to Jesus. Don't look to the false god of materialism who profaned the Lord's sacrifice. Money can't save you, but Jesus can. And Jesus said in John 6:40, "And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." He will. He didn't say your chances are good. He says, "I will do it." That is a promise of God. Now, before we leave, I want to tell you what this message does not mean. If somebody asks you to attend an Easter gathering, do not stick your nose in the air and say, "No, Ray said not to." It's not what I'm saying. If you get invited to an Easter party, please go. If your family has an Easter get together, please go. Go have a good time, enjoy your time together, but don't forget that the Lord said, "You shall keep the Passover feast by an everlasting ordinance," so let's keep it. You go to those get-togethers, tell people about this message I just told you. Tell them about the Passover. Don't stick your nose in the air and say, "No, I'm not going to do that because my pastor doesn't want me to." That's not what I'm telling you at all, okay? And lastly, experience tells me that no matter how much biblical information that was given in this message, somebody somewhere still isn't good with what I said today. So I'm going to close with Romans 11:11. It says, "I say then that the Jews, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles." Gentile, you know why you're saved? To make the Jew jealous. that their Messiah would save us. Sitting on a plane one time, and I was talking to this woman about the Messiah. He saved me, and I have Jesus, and she got mad. I didn't know she was a Jew. She got mad. She goes, where are you getting that from? And I open up my Bible. She goes, that's our book. That's not yours. We were raised with that as kids. Our rabbis taught us that. That book doesn't belong to you. I said, well, I have your Messiah anyway. And she got so mad. And you're on a plane. Where can you go? I was like, uh-oh. She goes, I got to go to the bathroom. And I'm like, okay. I got out of the way so she could get up in the aisle and go. And I thought, when she comes back, I'm done. And I was flying with Dov Schwartz, a Jewish man. He was across the aisle from me. And I looked at him for help. And he was over there going, He was asleep. I'm on my own. I provoked her to jealousy quick before I even knew what happened. But whenever a Jew finds out that you're playing around with Easter, they'll ask you, do you do Easter? And if you say yes, you lost their ear. They're done with you. They have no reason to listen. If you say you play around with other holidays like Christmas, holidays that have not been commanded by God, but rather they have been used to cover up God's holy days as a new invented tradition, when Jews hear that you engage in these crazy holidays, they will not listen to you when you tell them that you have their Messiah. So for anybody who says, I still don't buy this Easter story, right? Oh, here's what you need to understand. God has given us Gentiles a direct command. Provoke them to jealousy. They're not listening to him right now. He gave us salvation to make them jealous so that we can tell them about the Messiah so they'll get saved. But when you play around with Easter, Halloween, Christmas, and all these other holidays that they know are not in that Hebrew book, they're done listening to you. And then you can't provoke them anymore. You are unable to fulfill the command that God gave you. The charge he gave you to the Jewish people, you have lost that ability. When you say, yeah, I do Easter and Christmas, they're done. They won't listen. So you know what? I can throw my traditions away because I have a love for the Jewish people and I want to reach them. Those are his chosen people. I have a friend of mine. She says, Ray, I've got this Jewish friend, but we're good friends, but we only go so far. And we hit a roadblock every time. I can't talk to her about Jesus. She just won't listen. What's the problem? And I asked her, I said, I've got an immediate question for you. She goes, what? I said, do you do Christmas, Easter, and Halloween? She goes, of course I do. I said, there's your roadblock. She's not going to listen to you. She goes, what do you suggest I do? I said, stop doing those things. Get into the Bible. Look at the holidays that God prescribed. Engage her with those holidays. Say, can I come to Passover with you? And you watch her spin upside down that you even care as a Gentile to join her in the Jewish holidays and feasts. And then you will earn her ear to tell her about the Messiah Jesus. So if you haven't bought this whole story of Ishtar Easter up till now, at least by this part, that if you want to reach the Jews like God told us to do, you have to provoke them to jealousy. And by doing that, you've got to get away from these holidays that the Jews know are not in the book. Hope I busted through now. Well, I don't care. I'm going to do my traditions anyway. Then you don't care about God's command to the Jew first. I will leave this with you now. Don't hate me. I'm just the messenger. I just dug it up out of the Bible and showed it to you today. I leave the decision with you how you're going to deal with it. But God will say, you find out whose way works, mine or yours. I suggest you don't find out the hard way. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Set for Life. We hope you can join us next time, unless Jesus returns for us first. Set for Life is the radio ministry of Pastor Ray Jensen. We invite you to subscribe to our podcast at setforliferadio.com.
Hi, this is Ray Jensen. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to encourage you in God's Word. If the Bible doesn't excite you, then you're not reading it. I want you to remember that you are not worthless. You are priceless. Messiah Jesus died on the cross to redeem you so that you can be set for life.
You'll be set for